Well, thanks again to Mike and to the worship team for helping us to get our morning started. And welcome, Church of the Canyons. I'm so happy to be with you. I'm sad that it's virtual, as it is right now. And I pray that this will not continue much longer. But in the meantime, we continue to minister and open up God's Word. This week kind of felt to me like in the business world, they always call Wednesday hump day, right? It's kind of in between. It's like, it's not close enough Friday to have a smile on your face, and it's far enough from Monday not to remember the joy you had in the weekend. And that's how I feel right now in the midst of this crisis, that we're right in the middle of hump day. We've got a ways to go. We've come a long ways, and I'm praying, and I pray that you are praying as well, that we will just be able to gather again soon. I know that the people I'm talking to, they just miss being with each other. But in the midst of this time, we need to not forget that God has called us together as a congregation to love each other, to minister each other, to pray for each other, to meet one another's needs. And so let's continue to do that. And as this continues on, even as Fred mentioned this morning, remember that we have a very strong helps team that is there to assist in any way that you need. And they're just waiting to assist you. And then, of course, we have the benevolence team. And, of course, God has been very good to give us great resources. And so as you have needs, please let us know, and we are there to assist you. Well, in the middle of this time, we've put a little pause on the book of Titus. We are coming close to the end of that, but I decided that it might be a good time during this time, this crisis, for us to spend some time talking and thinking about God's promises to us. Often we don't think of God's promises when things are going really well, but it's really good for us to think about God's promises when we are struggling or when things are feeling somewhat out of control. So last week when we began this series, we began with the promise of peace. Remember I said that someone once had sat down and written down all the promises in Scripture, and they came up somewhere well over 6,000 promises that God gives his people. One of them is the promise of peace, peace in the midst of the storm, as we looked at last week. This week we want to look at the promise of prayer. And there is no more powerful promise, I think, in all of Scripture, that God hears our prayer, he answers our prayer, and he desires for us to pray one for another. And so during this time, I really want us to be encouraging one another to pray for one another. And particularly, I want us to think today about the importance of intercessory prayer. So if you would take your Bibles this morning, I'm not even going to ask you to get a cup of coffee this morning. Maybe just a glass of iced tea would be better this morning. And sit down and prepare yourself. We do have the notes. They are downloadable, and you might need them this morning. And this week, I would really encourage you to have those notes handy as you consider what it is that we have taught this morning. I'd like to teach from Psalm chapter 20 this morning, which is one of the greatest intercessory psalms in all of Scripture. And so, as is our custom, I'd like to read the psalm. We'll ask for God's benefit as we open it up, and then we will see what we can do as we go verse by verse through this. Psalm chapter 20, it is for the choir director, and it is a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your offering acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his strong right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen. We have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. So, Father God, having sung of your mercy and your grace, of your wisdom, of the vision that you have for us, of the goodness of your grace that provides salvation, having gathered together now, even virtually, we now are excited about the opening of your word. Please help us to understand the value of prayer, and particularly this morning, of interceding on behalf of one another. In a time where things are difficult and we are feeling sometimes lonely, discouraged, not knowing what exactly is going on, we ask that we would be people of prayer, that we would bring all of our requests, all of our thanksgiving, all of our supplications before you, because you are the God who hears and knows and desires to hear the prayers of your people. So encourage us this morning from your word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock. Your Son is my strong redeemer. It is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. One of my favorite quotes from John Bunyan, the man who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, is one you've heard me utter often, and it is simply this: you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. I just love that quote. It just wraps around our hearts, the necessity of prayer. And you've heard me use it so many times, but it always bears repeating because it is so very, very true. You can do a lot of things after you have prayed, but you can't do anything until you have prayed. Prayer should be the foundation of everything we do. Prayer should be the beginning and the ending of our days. Prayer should be something that follows us all through our day. Our prayers ought to be going before our Heavenly Father as a conversation with a good friend, and it should continue on. And of all the wonderful promises of Scripture, I think the most powerful promise that we have is that we have a God who desires to hear our prayers and a God who answers our prayers. I think there are very few promises more important than, first of all, the command to pray and then the promise regarding prayer. Now, I want you to think about that as we go through this morning, to think about what your prayer life is like in the midst of this time that we are going through. Has it been heightened? Has it been lowered? Is it something that you haven't thought about for a while? Is it something that you have engaged in with some regularity? I think more than anything else, right now at this time, our congregation needs to be a praying congregation. We need to be praying for our leaders. We certainly need to be praying for all of those who are on the front lines of this epidemic. We need to think about this, and so much of it has not come crashing in on us in particular, but we need to remember here in America, 53,000 souls have died, and they all have families. They have moms and dads and brothers and sisters and children, and they're grieving. They're struggling right now, and we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer even though we don't know them. We need to be in prayer for those families, for our nation. We need to be praying, and so this morning, I want to encourage us with that, and I want to particularly encourage us with this whole idea of intercessory prayer, that is, praying for one another. Now, the Bible is very clear about the necessity of prayer in our lives, and it is full of commands for us to pray and to pray together. Just a few commands, and they're in your notes today, and I put them in there specifically for you just to think about as you go through this week. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." And I think the important word there is always, and the sense is that we are to always be people of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of the shorter verses in all of Scripture, reminds us to pray without ceasing. And that is very similar to a synonym to this always, this without ceasing, that we are always to bring our requests, our thanksgivings before the Lord. Romans 12:12 tells us that we are to be joyful in hope and patient in affliction, but we are to be faithful in our prayer. And faithful, again, is just another word that simply says always, unceasingly, that we are to be faithfully praying for one another. Philippians 4, 6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known to God. So not just for small things or big things, but in everything we are to be coming before our Heavenly Father. And Hebrews 4, 16 says that we are to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. So there's no doubt that we are commanded to pray, and we are not commanded to pray just occasionally. We are to pray always, unceasingly, faithfully in everything, and we are to do our come before our Father with prayers of great confidence. I also want us to understand that not only are we commanded to pray, but there are great promises in our prayer. Here are some of the promises that we see in prayer. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." And Proverbs 15:8 says, "The prayer of the upright pleases our Lord." And Matthew 7:7, as was noted this morning, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it will be opened to you." John speaks about it in 1 John 5:14. He says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And 1 Peter 3:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attuned to their prayers." And probably the most famous promise of all is found in James 5:16, where it says, "The effective prayer of the righteous avails or accomplishes much." Truly, prayer is one of the most powerful commands and promises that God has given us to light our paths in difficult times. Now, many times in past studies, we have spoken of prayer. We have considered the importance of confession in prayer. We have considered the importance of supplication. We've considered the importance of praise. But today, during this season, during this time that we are in, I really want us to focus on the power and the importance of intercessory prayer. Let's make sure that we understand what I'm talking about when I talk about intercessory prayer. It's very simple. It's simply the act of praying on behalf of others, particularly in times of need. And so that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to be encouraged this morning to be people who are interceding on our behalf of one another. I think it's one of the most important things that we can do when we are separated up the way we are right now. We may not be able to be with one another. We might not be able to see each other, but we can be praying for each other. We can be praying over the phone, and we can be praying by text. I do that often, and I found it to be so valuable to people. We need to be interceding as we read a prayer request on behalf of another person and really intercede on their part and let them know that we are doing it. It draws us closer together. It means an amazing thing in people's life when we intercede on behalf of people. And I want us to know, too, that way too many people consider intercessory prayer something that is just reserved for super Christians, whatever that is. But intercessory prayer is something that we are all to be a part of. There is no one who is too young or too old in their Christian faith to be a person who intercedes on another person's behalf. I think with the prophet Samuel, we need to be this kind of a people. "Far be it from me," he says, "that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." Hey, those aren't my words. Those are Samuel's words. He says that it's a sin not to pray for others, and that's good enough for me. And I think it's very important for us to realize that we should not cease praying for one another. It needs to become a habit. It needs to be something that we think about. It needs to be something that we spend time on. It needs to be something that we do on an ongoing basis, because the encouragement that comes from it is so very powerful. Now, I understand that the majority of our intercessory prayers are private, and I spend much time during the week praying for our congregation, particularly during this time, and some of that is private. But this morning, I really want to encourage us to make this more public. I think the value of just praying for somebody and just calling them up or writing a text or sending an email and just saying to them, I know about your circumstance. I just heard about that, or I read about it in the bulletin. I am praying for you. I want you to know that I prayed for you specifically. And often in my texts and in my emails, I'll just write it out. I'll just say, I'm praying for you right now. Here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the Lord may be close to you in this, your time of need, whatever the specific issue. I want us to see the importance of each one of us taking this as a command and a promise that God says that the effect of fervent prayer of the righteous really does accomplish a great deal. And so I want to encourage us to consider increasing this verbal prayer with and for one another and really work it through this week in your life and really be saying to myself, am I praying for each other? Am I encouraging others? When was the last time that I did that? And how am I going to be more proactive about making that a reality in my life this week? I meet every other month with a group of pastors. We call it our prayer or our pastor cluster. And basically, everyone who is within the Free Church that's within about 30 miles, and there's about 15 of us pastors, we all gather together at a specific location. For 20 years, it was here at Church of the Canyons, and then I handed off the baton to my dear friend Steve Jackson over at Faith Community, and so we meet over there at that time. But it's a very interesting time because it's not a time where we spend a lot of time like in a devotional or spend time just opening up God's Word and looking through the riches of things. We spend most of our time in prayer. And what we do is we sit around tables, and one of the pastors will just share what's going on in his life, the blessings and the struggles and the pain and whatever he's going through. And then we just pause, and as a group, we pray for that pastor. And sometimes, you know, there are tears, and sometimes there's laughter, but always, always when I walk away from that meeting, I walk away encouraged because we spent time praying for one another. We understood the value, the efficacy, the power of such prayer, and we always come out of that time super encouraged. And I want to encourage you, if you've never been a person who was inclined towards intercessory prayer, you're missing out on two things. You're missing out on not only ministering to people in one of the most powerful ways that you can, and you're also missing out on being a blessing to that person in one of the most powerful ways that you can. So our main idea this morning is I really want to encourage us to get in the habit of praying intercessory prayers on behalf of and in the presence of our fellow believers. It's gotten to the point in my life where I'll be talking with somebody, and they talk to me. For instance, I was talking to a dear friend this week, and he's just at the end of his rope. His work is very, very difficult, and it's very, very challenging for him right now. And right in the middle of that time, I just paused and began to pray for him. And it was a very beautiful thing because as I came to the end of the prayer, you could almost sense the tone, the change in him as he realized, I'm not in this by myself. That God is in the middle of this, and I have another person who is a friend who is interceding on my behalf. And I had the opportunity not to do that just once, but many times this week with people. And I want you to know what a marvelous and powerful blessing that is. Moms and dads, pray for your kids. Intercede on their behalf. But don't just intercede in private. I know you do that all the time. But intercede in a very, very public way with them. Sit them down when they're struggling or worried or concerned about something and intercede on their behalf. Let them see how valuable prayer is and can be in their life. And watch how God answers prayer and how it ministers to you both in such a powerful way when you do that. So today I hope to encourage you, each of us, to be more proactive about seizing opportunities to intercede for others in their hearing. You know what? We used to have something called the Bridge. We would go over to the swap meet and we would go every Sunday morning and we would just minister to people and we would pray for people. We would hand out Bibles and, you know, people would walk by the booth and they would look at it and they kind of didn't understand what was going on. And I would stand out in front of the booth and I would say, hi, I'm Pastor Bob from Church of the Canyons. May I pray for you? You know, here's an interesting thing. And all the times that I did that, never once did a person say no. They go, well, yeah, I guess if you want to. And so I would say, well, what could I be praying about? What are you burdened about today? What are you struggling with? And what a blessing what is. It's like it bridges a gap between two people as you lift them up in prayer before the Lord. So I want you to encourage you to move into that. And don't worry that people are going to just be standoffish and that they're not going to encourage or appreciate the fact that you are praying for them. So let me just, we're going to get to Psalms 20 in just a moment here, but I want to encourage us with some intercessory prayers from Scripture, some of the really great ones from Scripture. They're also in your notes, I believe. No, number 6, 22 through 27 is a beautiful prayer. It's an intercessory prayer. It's a command that the Lord gave to Moses to give to Aaron, to give to the priests, and to carry on through the priesthood. See, the priests would individually intercede on behalf of Israel. And at the end of every service, they were to pray this prayer. And it's a very common one. You may have heard it before. It simply says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Do you see the intercessory element of that prayer? It's the priest standing up at the end of the service and lifting their hands before the congregation and interceding on behalf of Israel. Implicit in this prayer is a recognition that we all need to come before God. It is the Lord that blesses. It's the Lord who keeps. It's the Lord who gives grace. It is the Lord who gives peace. His blessing is all that counts, for in his blessing we have all we need. So the priest would stand before Israel and they would pray. I've always been a lover of John chapter 17, which is often referred to as the high priestly prayer. And here we are. Jesus is in that most difficult time in the last hours of his life. And instead of spending a lot of time on things that were not necessary, he got right down to intercessory prayer, not only on behalf of the disciples, but on for all we who would follow in his footsteps. Listen to just a portion of his great intercessory prayer. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask this on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Do you see the value of this wonderful intercessory prayer? He prays not only disciples, but for all who will follow in their footsteps. That's you and I, by the way, Jesus Christ, praying an intercessory prayer on our behalf. I could go on and on and on, but almost every epistle of the Apostle Paul begins with an intercessory prayer and closes with a benediction that is an intercessory prayer. Just one example from Ephesians 6. He says, peace be with the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. Do you see the intercession that is taking place? He ends each epistle by interceding on behalf of those people. So intercessory prayer is simply the act of praying on behalf of others, particularly in times of needs. All of us know people who need prayer. All of us know people who need to have to be interceded by. And it's high time we stop calling the pastor and say, pastor, such and such needs prayer. Would you go over and pray for him? And I want to say, what's the matter? Your leg's broken? Does your tongue not work? Do you not have the power of intercession the same way that I do? Well, you say, well, I'm not a righteous person. Well, maybe that's a problem. But we really need to consider that each and every one of us are called to intercede on behalf of the others. So here we go, Psalm 20. Psalm 20 is a beautiful psalm. As we see at the beginning of Psalm 20, it is for the choir director. So as most of the psalms, it's a song, and it is for the purpose of encouragement. It is a psalm of David. My sense is of this psalm, as I have studied and read commentaries on this, is that it was a psalm that was written during the early years of his kingdom, probably right after the reign of Saul and when he had come to the place where he had been seen as king in Jerusalem. It's actually fairly forthright and understandable. So really all we need to do to understand the context is to get a sense of what it is that's going on here. Here's what's happening. Basically what we have is a congregational intercessory prayer. Well, we have a very interesting situation here that is divided up into three sections. It's divided up, first of all, in verses 1 through 5, we see that the people raise up a corporate prayer on behalf of their king. And in verse 6, we see the king responds. And in verse 7 through 9, then the king and the people sing the last verse. And that last wonderful verse is a really beautiful thing to see. So let's see if we can't take a look at that really quickly this morning. It begins with the intercessory prayer of God's people. Now let me set it up for you, what is taking place. It is probably a time of battle. And what we have is, at the very least, the king and his officers have set up in array before the sanctuary. And at this time, there is no temple. So they would have set up before the priests in the tabernacle. And the priests then would lead the congregation in prayer for King David and the people before they went to war. Now, there's clear evidence, 1 Samuel 7, 9 and 10, 13, 9 through 12, that this was very common, that this kind of a prayer was a common corporate prayer given prior to the king going out into to battle. So set yourself up in your mind for just a moment. The king, the country is being invaded by, say, the Philistines. And so the king and his leaders come before the Lord for prayer. And they're standing there probably with their banners held high. And they're waiting for the people of God to pray for them and the priest, the high priest, to bless them. Often in these settings, they would actually take the priests into war with them. They would take the Holy of Holies out, or they would just go along with them for prayer support. But what we have here is, at a very critical time in the ministry of the king, we see that the people pray an intercessory prayer. They intercede on behalf of the king and the people who are going to battle. It looks like this. Remember, whenever we are looking at Scripture, when we first open things, the first thing we ask ourselves, is there repetition? And if you'll look carefully, it doesn't take much, you see that there is repetition all through the first five verses. Do you see it? May the Lord, may the name, may he send, may he remember, may he grant, may the Lord. Each one of those is a specific intercessory request on behalf of the king and the people who will be going out into battle. Let me read the first five verses, and then we'll just open them up very, very briefly. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings. May he find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now just take a look at this. In the first verse, he says, may the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. There is no doubt that as he goes into battle, there's going to be times of trouble. And as he goes into these times of trouble, in the midst of that battle, there would be moments where the king would find himself in a difficult situation. And there encourage him to bring those petitions at that point in time before the Lord. And he said, and the intercessory prayer is, may the Lord answer you when you were in the midst of that time. And more than that, may the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Remember who you are. Remember who you serve. Remember who your Lord is. May you be in a position where you understand that you are upheld by the almighty hand of God, the God of Jacob, who has securely set you on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary. May he remember all that you have done faithfully in serving him in the past with your burnt offerings and with your meal offerings. May he grant your heart's desire. May he surround you with counsel that is going to help you in the midst of that. May he grant your heart's desire, and may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Do you see how this intercessory is just so powerful? They're saying, may the Lord be there for you in every way that is necessary. When you have a question, we pray that he will be there. When you're feeling downcast and feeling that it's not going well, maybe you remember that you serve the God of Jacob. May he remember all the past ways that you have served him, and may he fulfill then all of your petitions. We see this in such a powerful intercessory way, but I love the way that verse 5 ends. After interceding over and over and over again, they understand that the battle is the Lord and that the king belongs to the Lord. So they're already predicting victory, and they're already realizing that God is in the midst of it. Read it with, look at it with me. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners when he fulfills all your petitions. I often, when I am interceding with people, at the end of the prayer, I says, I can't wait till we come to the end of this difficult time so that you and I can thank the Lord together as we see how he has blessed and how, as our intercession has come before him, as he's answered that. And what a powerful thing that is after interceding with a person to have to see that prayer answered. Happened to me this week, as a matter of fact. I prayed with a man. And I lifted him up through the evening at a difficult time that he was going through. And I received a phone call from him the next day. He says, you're not going to believe it. I said, what? I'm not going to believe. He says, that prayer has already been answered. All the things that I was concerned about have been taken care of. And what a wonderful thing was that for us to be able to say, well, praise the Lord. Wasn't it wonderful to intercede on behalf of one another and to see him answer that prayer? Now, that doesn't always happen so quickly, but I'm glad it happened this week because it gave me a great illustration. But the whole idea here is that when we intercede, we ought to be interceding with a confidence. And we ought to intercede with confidence because we're bringing them before the King of Glory. We're bringing the one before the king who knows all things and does all things well, and we can be assured that he is going to be in the midst of it. Mike alluded this morning to the fact that we feel really out of control right now. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who isn't out of control? Isn't it wonderful that although we don't know what next week will bring, that we already know that he knows the end of our days, and he knows the beginning of our week, and he knows everything about us, and he has nothing but good in mind for us, and that he is there to protect us and counsel us. And in the midst of this, as we come before him with our prayers of intercession on behalf of other people, he's delighted when we do that. He's delighted to answer those prayers. And every time those prayers are answered, it increases our faith. You know, it's not like this week when I talked to that one gentleman and the next day the prayer was answered. It's not like I said, well, I sure hope this works. I'm never going to do this again. But it was such a wonderful confirming element that says, God is listening to these things. God hears and he knows, and he wants us to take our problems and our concerns, and he wants us to cast our very burdens upon him. He wants us to thankfully and joyfully bring our prayers before him. And when we do that with one another, amazingly powerful things take place. So it begins with the priest. the Levites probably singing this in harmony, and the corporate setting of all of God's people, they are singing this intercessory prayer before King David. Now, here's the second thing, and this is what I want us to understand, is the encouraged response of the king. And I just, you need to know just how valuable it is when you intercede on another person's behalf, how it affects them, how it changes them to know that someone has been concerned about what they're concerned about, taken that and interceded on behalf of them before the King of Eternity. Look at David's response. There's just one verse, but it's what verse is so valuable. Verse 6. The king responds by saying, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with a saving strength of his right hand." One commentator, a Hebrew expert that I really appreciate, he says that "now I know" simply says, "I have now come to the conclusion that God is with me." And I want you to think about that for just a moment. This is King David. You know, King David, generally we think of him as he's kind of got it together. You know, he is the one who was taken from the herd, from the flock to be the shepherd of God's flock. But you wonder if he's got butterflies as he goes into battle, if he's wondering if he's going to do the right thing. And yet there stands Israel. All of them gathered together in whatever setting that is. And maybe in heaven we'll be able to punch back some of these and take a peek at them. But I can't imagine how wonderful that as they listen to the whole crowd sing out, may the name of God, Jacob, set you high. May he send you help. May he remember all your offerings. May he grant you your heart's desire. May the Lord fulfill your petitions. And by the way, we can't wait to rejoice when you come back to be with us. And think about how that affects David. It's almost like the burden is lifted from his back at that point in time. And he says, Now I know what's going to take place. Now I know that the Lord will save his anointed. I know he will answer me from holy heaven. I know that he will be there with his saving grace and the strength of his right hand. We had a wonderful, for 22 or so years here at Church of the Canyons, an elder who served very powerfully, and I was so thankful for dear Dave Barron. Dave Barron was our empath. He was our most empathetic guy on the board. He was a great prayer and a great listener, and he was a great intercessory prayer man. And he would always end his prayers in the same way. He says, "We bring these prayers before you because you are the one with a strong right arm." And that is what we see taking place here. We see that this strong right hand, the whole idea is that you have the power, the authority and the glory. We can trust you in the midst of that. So we've seen the intercessory prayer. May the Lord do all these things. We've seen the response of David. Now I know that God is there for me. And now, at the end, it's as if they all come together, all the generals, all the soldiers, all the banner carriers, all the people of Israel who are sending their sons out into battle. And it's as if now they come together and they give a concluding response. But I want you to notice the difference. Would you please look at it for just a moment? Notice number one, number two was an encouraged response by the king. And number three is a concluding response to the king. Do you see anything different there? Now, what we see in number two is it's by the king, small case, as in David. But now it's a concluding response to the king. So here we go. The people have interceded for the king. The king has responded back to their intercession, and now it's as if they all turn together with their eyes towards heaven, and they give praise to the King of Eternity. And look what they say. Verse 7, we have in verse 7 and verse 8, we have two contrasts. It says, "Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but contrast, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. And every time you see L-O-R-D, all capitalized, it speaks to the kind, compassionate, keeping, caring portion of God, the name Yahweh. And the whole idea is here, some boast in what they have and who they are, but we will boast in the name of the Lord. Those of you who are my age, you'll remember the old days of the Soviet Union. And back in the old days of the Soviet Union, they would right in front of the Kremlin is Red Square. And once a year or more, they would have these fine military parades. And they would just have all these soldiers passing by in review and just in perfect formation, in lockstep formation. And then would come the trucks. And on those trucks would be the missiles. And behind the trucks and the missiles would come the tanks. And it would just go on and on and on. Wars, the tanks and the missiles and the massive weapons of warfare on display. And you know what those parades were for, don't you? The whole idea was for the Russians to believe that they were the greatest, and for everybody else to quake in their slippers. And isn't it an interesting thing that actually took place? They trusted in their tanks and their trucks and their men and their weapons. And it's fascinating for you who know a little bit of history that the Soviet Union was not brought down by military. It was brought down by their out-of-control spending for the military as they tried to keep up with the spending of the U.S. President Reagan was a pretty smart dude. And the whole idea there was, we can always outspend you, and we will always have a better military. And they went crashing to the ground. Well, the tanks and missiles of David's day were chariots and horses. And so nations would boast of their military might by putting their horses and chariots on display. And yet we see here amongst Israel that just the exact opposite is taking place. Some boast in chariots and some boast in horses. You know what? We're going to boast in the name of our Lord. So notice what's happening here. It starts off with this beautiful prayer of intercession. Then the result is David praises the Lord for what's about to take place. Now the people gather together and say, we're not trusting in our horses. We're not trusting in our chariots. We're trusting in you. Verse 8, they have bowed down and fallen. He says, but we have risen and stood upright. And it's almost as if they're saying this as a fait accompli, that it's already taken place, that this enemy has already bowed down, but they will be risen up. And then they end up in such a beautiful way. It says, save, O Lord, may the king answer us in the day in which we call. And the king here speaks of Yahweh. This is an interesting verse because most people don't really realize that Great Britain built its national anthem around this verse. Where you see them say, God save the king or God save the queen, comes from this verse. And the anthem that they sing comes from this verse. Save, O Lord, may the king answer us in the day we call. The difference is, instead of saying, God save this king, it's simply saying, save, O Lord, you are the king of eternity. Do you see how beautiful this prayer is? You see what a wonderful thing it is at a critical time in Israel's history. They come before and they gather together and they pray, may the Lord protect you. May the name of God set before you. May he send you help. May he remember you. May he grant your heart's desire. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Oh, now I know that you are with me. Now let's turn and worship God and be thankful for him. We don't boast in chariots. We boast in God. We realize that he already has this done. Save us, O Lord. You are the king. Answer us in the day in which we call. I think it's the most beautiful example of an intercessory prayer uttered in a time of great difficulty. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's apply it if we can. I want to just bring before your attention two things. First of all, when should we intercede on behalf of people? Well, the short answer is always, right? Okay. But here's something that might help you. When should we intercede in prayer? Well, I think first of all, when we gather for corporate worship. I think there should always be intercessory prayer taking place in corporate worship. We call it elder prayer or pastoral prayer. The whole idea is we want to be examples of interceding on behalf of God's people. So if you listen carefully to the prayer this morning, it was mostly intercession. It was mostly intercessing on behalf of people who find themselves in need. So when we gather for corporate worship, there should always be a time of intercessory prayer. When significant events are before us, we should really share with people and say, there's some significant events taking place in my life right now. Would you intercede on my behalf? I think right now is a significant time for Church of the Canyons. We need people to intercede on behalf of our pastor search committee. I think when you think about it, they did a lot of hard work to get to this point, but now is where it gets tricky. Now is where it's difficult because they've got this whole list of godly men who are just asking the question, is this the place where God wants me to serve? We need to be interceding on behalf of the pastor search team. We need to be interceding on behalf of that pastor next. We don't know who he is yet, but we do know that God has his hand on him. We need to be interceding on behalf of our transitional senior pastor who will be with us come in June. We need to be interceding on behalf of this old guy who's leaving you. Right now I'm finding myself in a place of great question. I'm saying to myself, how do I leave in the middle of this? And will we ever even be together again before my last day? What a heartbreaking thought just to think about. I need you intercede on my behalf. I would appreciate that greatly. I trust that the Lord is doing a good thing, but I don't know what he's doing with respect to that. So we need to intercede when insignificant events are before us. And of course, we need to intercede when others are struggling. I think it's just one of the most beneficial things that we can do is immediately when a person comes to us and says, I have a prayer request or I'm really struggling with this, or we look at their downcast face and we say, are you okay? That it should be followed up with, may I pray for you and how can I pray? And we should be quick to intercede on others' behalf. Please don't miss the opportunity and say to them, oh, there, I'll pray for you this week. And I appreciate if you pray for them this week, but what's the matter with the present? At the present time, we need to be praying one for another. So when others are struggling, we need to pray. And whenever the opportunity is made available to us, don't miss it. Don't miss out on the opportunity to pray for others. And then finally, why? Why should we intercede in prayer? Well, first of all, it strengthens our relationships. And you will never truly come to grips with this until you experience it. There's something incredibly powerful, as I've been alluding to all through this, when we intercede on behalf of a person and then together we get to watch how God answers that prayer. So it strengthens our relationships. It encourages the discouraged. I even see that in verse 6, now I know. It's as if I didn't know this before, but now I know that the Lord will save his anointed. I have seen so many times how an intercessory prayer has saved a person from being so discouraged and dark and moved them back to a place of the lightness of God's promises. It encourages the discouraged, and it reminds us the importance of going to God for everything. So that's my prayer for you this week, that each one of us would take advantage of this great promise. That great promise is that we can take everything in our life before our Heavenly Father, that he loves to hear it, that he desires to be a part of our prayer life and to answer the prayers as we bring before him. It reminds us that we are called to be a part of the solution by bringing our prayer before him. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you, and may he give you peace. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, I want to intercede on behalf of your congregation here at Church of the Canyons right now. Some are weary, some are discouraged, some are jobless. Some are looking into May and realizing that all of a sudden they will not be getting a paycheck. Others have family or friends who are struggling with this latest pandemic disease. Others are wondering how much longer they will be employed, and some are struggling with decisions that just have been placed on hold. May it be our great privilege to intercede on each other's behalf. May we come before you with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that we're coming to the King of eternity who does all things well. May we get out of our comfort zone and say those hard words. May we simply, as we listen to a person talk about their needs, stop right there, ask if we can pray with them, and be part of the solution and part of the blessing in that person's life by interceding, even at that moment, on their behalf. And may in the midst of this, you receive all the glory and praise, for you alone are worthy. May you, the King, answer us in the day in which we call. We do ask that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.